And a number of us were interested in this resource, and we decided, I wonder if we could use it here. So fast forward through to January 2020, and we found the resource and had a look through. And by the grace of God, we'll be looking at the themes over the next few weeks in the morning services, and we're also going to do something in our home groups as well. And that will require a bit more grace from God as we work through the necessary adjustments that we need to take. So, that's led us to this passage and the title for this morning, Living Out Our Faith. Living out our faith. What comes to mind when you think of that phrase? Is it about when you come to this building and this space? Or is it something that's wider and bigger than that? Does it include what we choose to do and what we choose not to do? Does it include our outlook on life, the influences we have that help us make the decisions that we make and helps influence the choices we choose? It's helping us. It's encouraging us. It's challenging us to recognize the reality of what Jesus has done for us and seeking to live our lives in the light of that. Us actively expressing that reality and what he has achieved. Living out our faith. The book calls it being energized by faith. So when you look at it in the home groups, that will be the title, will be used, but it's the same issue. What do we do? How do we live? Is it any different because we have a faith in Jesus? And I thought it'd be fun, it'd be interesting to have a look at this idea in relation to our verse for the year. And for me, it raised a few questions, some thoughts. And here are some of the thoughts that I had. Not all of them, because I stopped. Firstly, do we believe Jesus can make us fishers of men? You know, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe you're not sure. Because the verse says, if we follow him, he will make us. Are we expecting that we will become such people? Sometimes in churches, you know, you think, oh yeah, that's a great message. Oh, I really believe in this, but I think someone else should do it. It's for that person. It's for, oh, my friend, but it's not for me. But in the verse, there's no qualifications. It says, if you follow me, I will make you. That includes all of us. Are we seeking to discover the process by which Jesus is at work in our lives, making us better fisher people? Are we asking ourselves the question, what evidence have I seen in my life or in the lives of other people around me to encourage me that as we follow, we've become better at fishing for people? Energized by faith. Living out our faith. And from this passage, I've got 3 points, you know, being very Baptist today. And they even got a similar start. Let's try this one. The first one is get set. Get set. Verses 1 and 2 go as follows. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. I'm confident that every one of you will be familiar with the phrase, on your marks, get set, go. And if you're an athlete, that's bread and butter for you. Or maybe you were a bit sporty in your younger days when you were at school or college or university. And you'd get there on the field and they'd say, on your marks, get set, go. Off you would go. And that get set phase is the athlete, that person, that individual, being in the right position, ready to start the race. You're prepared, you're trained, you know where the goal and the destination is, you're pointing in the right direction, and you're set. You're in a solid position, firm position, ready to explode into the start of your race. Set. Maybe if you're a student or you're studying, it could be you're set for a test or an exam because you've done the preparation, you've done your revision, you've done your homework, and you know you're ready. It's coming, but you're ready for it. Maybe if you're about to become a parent, you know the baby is coming. What kind of emotions and thoughts run through your heart and mind, especially for the first time? Oh, I don't know if I'm going to be ready for this. But you make effort. You do prepare space in your home. Maybe you buy new equipment. Maybe there's toys and prams and buggies. You get yourself ready for this new thing that's about to start. Or if you've moved home, that means getting set is putting things into boxes ready for the move day. There's many other examples from life we could use and we could talk about, but it's the position that we're in, knowing that something is ahead, that we are prepared, we're ready, we're in the right position, and we're set. We're anticipating this thing. And then it happens. So, the scripture says, get set. And it says to set two things. Set our hearts and our minds. It's great. It doesn't say one or the other, but it's a both and. It's a holistic approach. Every aspect of life is to get set. Our heart. What are we passionate about? What about our emotions, our ambitions, hopes, dreams, desires, belief? Jesus, in these words, is instructing us to set all of these towards Him, towards Christ, towards His achievement and what He's done for us. Where's our heart today? Is it set towards Him? The accomplishment of Christ. Our minds, our thinking, our understanding, our mental capacities to study, to learn, seeking to comprehend and appreciate how much Christ has done for us. How much He's done. It's not just being set and stuck in a rut and not being open to new ideas or new possibilities, but set towards Him and His achievements. Seeking to comprehend, understand, taking more inclusively in a bigger and bigger way. Appreciate for ourselves just exactly what it is He's done. But this passage is an incredible passage. It's one of these really rich passages. It doesn't simply give you instruction, but it gives you a why, a motivation, and a few points from the first few verses of this passage. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That we've been raised with Christ. And that's birthed from verse 1. We've been raised with him. And he's at the right hand of God. That's why we should be set. Our lives are now hidden in Christ, in verse 3. And we will appear with him in glory. Surely that's good reason to have our hearts and minds set. You know, the fact that Christ is at the right hand of God speaks of power and authority. The fact that we're being raised with Christ, we're raised up to his level, up to his standards. We're hidden in him. You know, I didn't know what Brian was going to use earlier on. But by being in Christ, then the threat of the enemy is useless. It's powerless because we're in him. And if you are forward thinking, if you like dreams, if you have ambitions, then glory is great. That's why we should be set towards Jesus, set because of Jesus, hearts and minds. Get set. Are we people that are set towards Christ? But we also need to get rid of some stuff. Verse 8 of the passage that was read for us. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Get rid. And the first thing that jumps out for me is this phrase in verse 8, rid yourselves. It's something all of us have to do. It would be great, it would be amazing if you could go to someone and just say, you know, pray that special prayer for me that will get rid of this issue from my life. You could, you know, turn up on a Sunday, go and ask the right person. They'd pray the special prayer, and then you'd be rid of it. It'd be easy. That person would have a long queue each Sunday, you know. Oh, can you get rid of this one for me, please? Oh, yeah, that's fine, good. But here the scripture says, rid yourselves. That means I've got to get rid of stuff. That means you've got to get rid of stuff. But it also means it's possible for you to rid yourself of whatever issues that are yours. It means you don't have to share them with others unless you really want to, or if you need to get rid of them. God is not calling you to embarrass yourself or make yourself look foolish. He simply tells you, get rid. You know the areas that you struggle in your life better than anyone else. God says, get rid. Get rid. And if you thought that was strong or harsh or even powerful, then the next phrase is even more extreme. It says, put to death. Kill them off. Yes, the first phase definitely is to get rid of it. Get it out of your life, remove it. And that can be a struggle, that can be hard. It can take a lot of work, it could take some time. But if you get rid of something, it can come back. So phase one, get rid of it. Do whatever it takes, but get rid of it. But then once you've rid of it, kill it off so it can never return. Put it to death. Strong, aggressive, powerful, challenging words. But the instruction of Scripture. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Sometimes when we look at passages like this and we encounter these verses, people can get upset and offended. The list of reasons why people get upset and offended is too long to go into right now. But possibly because they take it personal. Because they think that God is having a go at them as an individual, that there's something wrong with them, there's something wrong with me. Oh, surely, God, you can put up with me, you know. Why pick on me? God is not picking on anyone. It's a case of, you know, pick your issue from the list. There's something for everyone here. You pick your issue. I'll pick my issue. And all of us need to get rid of whatever it is and then kill it off so it can't come back. And if we are feeling anxious, if we are feeling picked on, possibly it's a sign of a lack of growth in Christ, because he's not picking on you. He's saying, I want you to be all that I've gained for you. I want you to experience the richness of all that I've achieved for you. And therefore, get rid of the rubbish, because it needs to go. But, you know, this is Bible. And simply the clear instruction of Scripture should be enough. Get rid of some stuff. But here the writer also gives us some more motivation, some more reasons why we should do this. Verse 7. You used to walk in these ways. You used to. If you are a follower of Jesus, it's not who you are anymore. That's the old self. That's the old you. You're not that person anymore. So don't live like that. You know, how crazy is that? If you're a new person, then you should have a new life. Verses 9 and 10. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, you have a new identity. Often in churches like this, we might talk about people being born again, people receiving the life of Jesus into themselves when they say yes to the glorious and generous offer of Jesus. We say we have new life. The Holy Spirit's come into our life and we're made alive to God. We're his friend, we're his son, we're his daughter, we're in his family. We're not who we used to be. There's a new creature alive. We have a new identity. And with a new identity, there should be a new life. Christ calls us to live this life. Verse 11. But Christ is in all. And is in all, let's read this right. But Christ is all and is in all. So Christ is all and we're in Christ. We're not the people that we used to be. We don't have the same position. We don't have the same status. And with this new status, with this new position, with this new identity, surely there should be some difference. There must be some change. Which leads me to this question. What change has happened for you? What change has happened for me? Because when we become Christians, over time, the people around us, yes, our family, our friends, the people that we interact with week by week, month by month, should notice a difference. People should be able to come up to you and say, you're a bit different. What's changed you? What's happened in your life? You're not the person you used to be. You might be puzzled, you might scratch your head. You might be thinking, well, I haven't done anything different. You know, I'm still living the same address. I'm still doing the same work. What do you mean I'm different? Well, you don't do some of the things you used to do. You don't talk the way that you used to talk. Your attitudes has changed. You know, you're kinder, you're gentler. Oh, that stuff. Yes, that's because I'm a new creature, because I'm a follower of Jesus. And that has an impact in every area of my life. It's not something I do. It's who I am. So, are we set? Have we got rid? And finally, get dressed. Get dressed. Verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, this image that's on the screen, you can tell it's the king and king and queen of this nation from time gone past. But the reason why I picked this particular image is it's not ordinary clothes. It's very distinguished and distinct clothing. You don't put those kind of clothes on by choice. They're given to you to wear because of who you are. This is what Christ is trying to communicate to us. Clothe yourselves with the clothing that I have given to you. This new clothing comes to you because of the new status you have. You could not claim this. You cannot buy this. It's made for you because of who you are, and I give this to you. So wear it. Wear it. You know, if somehow we were to be given those kind of clothes in reality, something very significant and radical has happened. The most recent illustration for us would be Meghan Markle. She was an actor over in Canada, and now she's part of our UK royal family. She can get to wear stuff like this because something significant and radical has happened in her life. Something more significant and more radical has happened in all of our lives if we are followers of Jesus. Get dressed in the right kind of clothes. From time to time, I kind of look at some other issues apart from theology, you know, partly just to kind of keep me amused and keep me in touch with the world. But one of these things that I've kind of discovered, particularly from motivational people and, you know, life change people, is that if you want to try and quit something, it's best not to try and just quit. It's better to try and do something positive as well. So, you know, that's why one of the particular challenges for smokers is, if they want to give up, is what do they do with their hands at the times they would have normally smoked? Or what do they do with their mouth? which is a particular reason why chewing gum is very powerful and effective if you want to stop smoking. It gives you something to do with your mouth instead of smoke. So you're doing something positive as well as trying to get rid of something. Here, Scripture uses a similar technique. It's about the getting rid and the getting dressed. It doesn't just say, get rid of stuff, kill these things, but here, this is what I give to you. This is what I've won for you. This is what I've enabled you to experience and to have. So do these things. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Paralleled with fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because there's new life in each of us, we should expect these things to start being manifest in our lives. The question is, do we really believe this stuff? Do we really believe that this is what Christ has done? Have we accepted for ourselves that we are chosen people, that we belong to God, that we're hidden in Christ, that we've become part of this incredible family? Do we? Because sometimes we struggle, we fail to realize, we can't absorb it into our hearts and minds, and therefore allow it to affect our lifestyle, our thoughts, our ambitions, our hearts, our dreams, how we think. This is what Christ has done. This is what he says in his words, that he's chosen us. We're his family. Something radical and significant has taken place, and therefore we can wear these new clothes. His Holy Spirit has been given to us. He's dealt with our sin. We are set apart for a purpose. He dearly loves us. This is the creator of the universe, making the statement that he loves each one of us, all who have accepted his loving, gracious offer in and through his son, Jesus. This is who we are. Do we really believe this stuff? Do we really live like this is true? Do we really live like this is our life? Some of the lifestyle gurus and coaches that are out there talk about living your best life or living the dream. Oh yeah, I'm living the dream, man. I've achieved it. I've, got my YouTube channel with, 1 million subscribers and, a whole bunch of followers, and my social media accounts are into millions. It's like, that's all fine. But this isn't a dream. This is the reality of what Jesus has done for each one who calls him Lord and Savior. You can't get better than this reality. Get dressed. Walk around in the clothes. Become comfortable in the new clothes that God has given to you, so you can walk around up erect and upright. Comfortable in your own skin. Because you've realized, you appreciate, you comprehend more fully than you've done before what Christ has done for each one of us. So to conclude, are we set? Are we getting rid? Are we getting dressed? Because the final verse says this: and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do. You see, as we seek to live out our faith, this is meant to impact every day, every situation, every occasion. There is no sense of restriction in this in any way, shape, or form. This is not simply something we do when we come to this building. This is every moment of every day, of every hour of our life, in all locations, under all situations and circumstances. And since we're at the start of a new year and a new decade, I want to ask all of us this question. What do you expect to be in 2030, apart from 10 years older, by the grace of God? Do we expect to be any different? Because this passage says to us, in 10 years' time from now, we shouldn't simply be older, but we should be more transformed into the likeness of Christ, so that everything that we do, whether in word or deed, it shows, reflects, is a more complete representation of all that Christ has done for us. But we'll only achieve that as we set our hearts and minds in the right place. As we get rid of the stuff that this passage tells us to get rid of, and preferably put it to death. That we get dressed in the robes that Christ has won for us. And then we live our lives. Then, in 10 years from now, the people that we know, the people around with us, the people we interact with, will say, you're different people. Because we're set, we've got rid, and we're properly dressed. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that Christ has done for us. We acknowledge that it's an awesome achievement, that we don't deserve it, but we can respond to it. We acknowledge our response and ask that you would help us to get set, get rid, and get dressed. In Jesus' name, amen.